Go to 2 Timothy. We'll go to the third chapter of 2 Timothy. I'm going to do some instructing tonight, and so I'm going to use this portion of Scripture to explain what I'll be doing, and I'm going to talk very practically to you tonight. We have been focusing in the months of June and July on the subject of soul winning. A lot of our Wednesday nights teaching, some of our morning preaching has been on purpose designed to try to stir the church in this matter of soul winning and getting the gospel, reminding us of our duty and our responsibility. And so I'm going to give you just some very practical soul winning advice tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. If you can find that, then stand please with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to just give some nuts and bolts type things tonight that I hope will be helpful in for our people in this matter of being as effective as we possibly can be in the matter of getting the gospel out. And so, Lord, I pray that you would always cause us to remember that as we go out into, Lord, the community, as we go visiting, as we go soul winning, as we witness in day-to-day life, Lord, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand, dear God, the seriousness of that, and help us to view it in that light. Help us, Lord, just to learn some good things tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to say this. Soul winning has been a part of all of my adult life. I made a commitment to the Lord when I was 16 years old that I would spend my life trying to win souls. That was before I was called to preach. That was before I had any inkling that I would end up in the ministry. I tell our young people this: God may not call all of you into full-time Christian work. Not all of you will be a missionary or a pastor or involved in something like that, an evangelist. But I believe every Christian ought to be a lifelong, lifetime soul winner. That's what I believe. I think that there's nothing greater that you can accomplish as a saved person than to be used of God to present the gospel to someone else and watch them receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know anything more in life. Casey Brinson, I mentioned this to you, got to win his first three souls to Christ during vacation Bible school. Casey's not here tonight. He's taking his dad up to a heart doctor's appointment, and he texted me and let me know that they wouldn't be back in time, but he was excited. And there's nothing quite like when he came to me and he had that look in his eye and he said, "Preacher, I just won my first soul to Christ." I mean, him saying those words took me back to the moment that I won my first soul to Christ. I think there's some things you'll never forget in life, and one of them is the first person that Lord ever used you to just show them the way of salvation. I think that it ought to be something that all of us aspire to. And so there's a lot of things in the course of a lifetime spent doing this that I've learned, and there's a lot of courses that I've taken. There's a lot of books that I've read. There's one area of my life that I've worked hard to try to keep improving. I like to go soul winning with different people. It's amazing just going with this person. You'll catch one little thing they say, and you'll learn something. This person, you'll see them handle a situation, and you'll think, "Boy, I wouldn't have known how to handle that." And it's just a wonderful thing to stay involved in soul winning and be a part of a soul winning church. I'm going to teach a lesson tonight. I'm calling the before and after of soul winning. The before and after of soul winning. And I'm going to give you just really some very basic nuts and bolts practical advice. Sometimes a preacher just comes up and gives instruction in righteousness. And that's what I'll be doing tonight. The reason we do that is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we can do the right thing, and we can do good works, but how much better if we're thoroughly furnished to do good works, we're properly prepared to do good works. So I want to talk to you about some things to remember before you go out visiting, before you go soul winning. And then I want to talk to you about the after of soul winning. What do you do if God blesses you and somebody gets saved? What is your job over? Is that it? Let me go through, first of all, the proper preparation for soul winning, the before you go soul winning. I believe in preparation. I think if you're going to do anything and do it well, you have to prepare. Brother Jesse came tonight, and he came up here, and he did a good job playing the sax. But I can tell you, I was here earlier, and he came several hours before and spent a lengthy amount of time just warming up and just getting ready. If he'd have walked in cold, opened the case, never touched it, he would not have as performed as well as he did a minute ago. We seem to understand that on almost everything else in life, but soul winning is the same way. I think some folks go soul winning, but the honest truth is they're not prepared to go soul winning. Young people, I want you to really hear what I'm going to say here. It'll help you. If you don't properly prepare to go soul winning, then don't expect to have results. I mean, some of you go, but you don't really go prepared. And it may just be because nobody's told you how. I'm going to tell you how, okay? But I do believe that you ought to be completely prepared to go soul winning. Now, I believe you ought to be physically prepared. I believe you ought to be mentally prepared. I think you ought to be spiritually prepared. And as you do this and continue to do these things and use these checklists, you'd be surprised at how much more God blesses you, how much more effective you are. Proper preparation for soul winning, physical preparation. Let me just give you some practical things. Remember, folks, as we go and we knock on doors, we aren't just representing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. What I said in my prayer about being an ambassador for Christ, that ought to mean something. I mean, that used to touch Christians. Does that touch you anywhere? That as you go out, especially on visitation, but in everyday life, you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, as if a president would send an ambassador to represent the country. You know, we have ambassadors of different countries. Listen, everybody watches them because their entire impression of the United States of America, for the most part, is going to come from their interaction with our ambassador. Hey, let me ask you an honest question. What view does the world have of Jesus Christ since in your arena, in your sphere of life? If they judged every Christian and they judged Christ by what they heard and saw from you or from me, what kind of impression would they have? You know, that ought to change us. That ought to touch us. I mean, people know that I'm the pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I can't lay that aside. I don't want to lay that aside. I'm not looking to get out from underneath that responsibility. I'm looking to live up to that responsibility. You may think that nobody knows where you go to church. Obviously, you have no clue as far as small town America. You know, they pretty much know everything about you and some things that you don't even know about you, they know about you. But I'm telling you, what you do and what you say is a reflection on this ministry. What you say and what you do is a reflection, more importantly, on Jesus Christ himself. And so physical preparation. Let me just talk to you about some practical things. I think when you go out visiting, you ought to go well-groomed. I don't think you ought to look like you just rolled out of bed. I think you ought to go dressed appropriately. And folks, one of the best things you'll ever learn when it comes to dress is that word appropriately. There's an appropriate way to dress for every situation. There's an appropriate way to dress. Now, I'm getting ready to go out visiting. I'm going to knock on doors. I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm representing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, you ought to dress up for it. I'm gonna change some thinking this year. There's a couple of things that have happened that just kind of boggle my mind. We have a dress standard for our school kids. And then I watched them go out on visitation. Then I watched some of the girls sneak in the bathroom before Wednesday night church and dress down for church. Parents, hello? I mean, should I even have to say this? Okay, now they change. You think the standard dress for church ought to be less than school? I don't understand this. I'm going to help all our church. You get mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to help you right now. Some of you are slowly surrendering to the contemporary Christian movement, this casual Christianity. I would never come to church in a pair of blue jeans. Now, there's men that do because they just came from work. Don't ever look at them. Don't ever judge them. Whatever. If I see a guy in a pair of blue jeans, I'm just assuming he just came from work. Okay, I'm assuming he's going to work as soon as the door shuts behind him, I guess. But I'm just telling you, I don't think you have to wear a tuxedo. I don't even make that big a deal about you saying you have to wear a suit and tie to every service. I know Wednesday night, but there's something about being appropriate. Now, if you're going to go knock on doors and represent Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you shouldn't look like you just climbed off the tractor or you just wandered out of the field baling hay. Okay? I think that's good for us. It really is. It would be good for all of the areas of our church just to kind of say, let's step it up a little bit. Okay, let's step it up. Let's be sharp. Let's be first class. If you're going to church, you kind of ought to look like you intended to go to church. Okay, and so I like it when it gets quiet like that. This is good practical instruction in righteousness. See, folks, listen to me. You say, well, it really doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it really does. I'm going to tell you something. I haven't just read and studied what the Bible says. I will tell you this. I did a lot of studying, especially as a young pastor. I'm going to help some of you young guys if you'll listen to me. I could help you not only represent Christ, I could help you succeed in life if you'd listen to me. Okay? I did a lot of studying, a lot of reading in my early Bible college years and right out of Bible college going into ministry. You go right out of Bible college into the ministry and you're 20-something, it's hard to gain the respect of older adults. It just is. Well, one of the things I did was, I knew that I had to have that. I needed to have folks respect me as a pastor. And listen, I read and I studied on this. There's surveys done. I mean, there's companies that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars researching what type of dress speaks to people in what manner. Okay, it just amazes me. A CEO of a company would never wander into a meeting dressed like some preachers walk up on the platform. You know, I mean, you know, they understand that, you know, I understand. I'm not laying aside spirituality. I'm not laying aside fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm not laying aside all this. But at some point, there's also some practical, sensible things that you have to understand. They took a picture, one of the things I read, and there's all kinds of this stuff. They took a picture of the exact same guy, okay? And he had on the exact same suit and the exact same shoes and the exact same belt and the exact same tie. But in one picture, he had a white shirt on, and one picture, he had a blue shirt on. And they laid it before 100 different people. And they said, one of these guys, they're twin brothers. One of these, and they weren't twin brothers. They were the same guy. One of these guys, they're twin brothers. One of these guys is a successful, honest businessman. And the other one is a con man. Which one do you think is the con man? And you know what? Over 90% of the people picked the guy in the white shirt that they would trust him and pick him in trustworthiness over the guy in the blue shirt. You may notice what color shirt I wear tonight. Okay. You say, is that important? I think that we ought to access every advantage that we possibly can use to properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not preaching against colored church, but I don't preach much in colored church. Every once in a while on a Wednesday night or something. And by the way, I can get by with things at 51 that I couldn't get by with at 25. Okay, when you're old, they expect you to dress weird. Okay, I mean, you know. You see, when you're young, you buy shoes based on how cool they look. When you get old, you just want them to be comfortable. You don't really care what they look like, you know. You just want your feet not to hurt. And so, you know, they always cut slack for old people, you know. They, oh, okay, he's old, you know, he's probably colorblind. That's why he's got that outfit on, you know. So they're, but I'm just saying, now, young people, I'm telling you this. You're walking up to doors, and you're meeting adults, and you're wanting to win them to Christ. Okay, you come walking up the side. By the way, they don't see you when they open the door. They see you when you're walking towards their house. They see whether or not you cut across their yard or whether you use the sidewalk. All right, they watched whether or not you were goofing around and laughing and pushing each other and acting like idiots. And then you knock on the door and you want to do the load. They've already got your number. And what I'm saying is, hey, watch this. There's never a time we're not representing Jesus Christ. There's never a time that somebody's not watching. And what I'm saying is, what I listen, some of you don't understand. Pastor, how can you walk into a room full of 300 teenagers and you can get their attention and gain their respect and get them to listen to you? Yes, yes, there's no substitute for the hand of God and the power of God and the anointing of God, but there's also some practical sense, common sense things that work in life. And I know it's just easy to say, oh, well, that's old stuff, that's old guy stuff, whatever. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference. Now, what I'm saying is this, comb your hair. Okay, they could take the same picture of the guy. They did this. Different hairstyles. There's a reason that I wear my hair the way that I wear my hair. I'm not saying it's the only way to wear it in the entire, but I'm just saying, those of you that want to just follow the kind of the punk look, you know, you were going after the porcupine look or whatever, you know, you really need to understand that you may just say, well, I'm just trying to whatever, but there's a way people look at you, especially older people will look at you differently. You know, it'd just be awfully good if some young guys would look at some of the older guys that's got their act together, and instead of, you know, making fun, laughing, act like an idiot, learn something. Maybe good for you young ladies to actually look and watch some of the sharp ladies in this church and understand there's a reason, okay, that we do the things we do. And listen, it's not always because it's the most comfortable thing to wear. But I'm not worried about being comfortable. I'm worried about being effective. I'm worried about touching people's lives. I'm worried about standing up and getting people to listen to me and hear me. And if I'm standing at the door, hear me. That's why this preparation is important, okay? And so when the pastor growls and barks in the next couple months at these individual groups, don't get mad at me because you've slacked off in your dress a little bit. Just say, thank God we got a preacher that's trying to keep things right. Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We don't want it dressing like you're going to Lebanon Baptist Church, okay? They can put their little no dress code out there, which I think is funny because I guarantee I could send some people in there with no dress code and they would not allow it. But everybody has a standard. Everybody draws a line somewhere. What we want to do is draw a high standard, a standard that is unapologetically right, unapologetically sharp, first class. All right, and I don't think there's a thing wrong with that. So go dressed appropriately. You're representing Christ. You're representing your church. Be aware of just things like bad breath. Breath mints are a blessing. They are your friend, okay? And have your shoes shined. Dress for the weather you're going to be out in. Have the right tools with you. You know, if you say if you die today and you know for sure you go to heaven, they say no. Would you like? No, yes. And then you reach in your pocket. You don't have a soul winner's New Testament. You know, it's pretty much... You know, you don't have the tools. You need to have a New Testament. So many New Testament. You need to have gospel tracts. You need to have a decision card and an ink pen so that you can actually take down the information afterwards. And so go sharp. Listen, bus workers, I'm talking to you too. I don't care if it's Saturday morning visitation. Okay, this idea I want to go in my blue jeans and T-shirt and wander around doing bus visitation, that needs to stop. Let's sharpen up. Let's look like we're from the church. Okay? And so let's look good. Mental preparation. I think that a lot of tech people are not effective at soul winning because they don't prepare themselves mentally. I think that you ought to mentally go through the plan of salvation before you go soul winning, before you knock on the first door. I think on the drive there or sometime during the day, you ought to mentally go through the verses and review it. You know, I don't care what you do, playing the saxophone, playing the piano, singing a special in church. If you haven't practiced soon before you do it, it's never going to be as good. And so you're going to be a lot more smooth in your presentation if you've practiced it. Practice the plan of salvation before you go. Practice giving your testimony before you go. Let me give you another mental preparation. Now, I preached on this recently. Cast your cares upon the Lord before you go. You do not want to be mentally distracted. Now, folks, we all go soul winning. And if we go every week, we go soul winning some weeks where there's, you know, some tough things going on. There's some rough things going on. You know, that week hasn't gone well. But wait a minute. I can't take that to the door. I can't let that cast a shadow or a cloud. I mean, listen, I can't walk into the door with my lower lip dragging the ground and expect them to want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. As their Savior, you know, if I don't look happy that I'm saved, why should they want to get saved? And so I think you have to spend some time saying, Lord, you know what? These are real things in my life, but Lord, for the next hour and a half, I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to lay them aside, and I'm going to focus on souls, and I'm going to focus on the plan of salvation, and I'm going to focus on being a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think music and having the right song in your heart, it changes your spirit. I think that the day you go soul winning and the afternoon before you go soul winning, you ought to just pick a couple of good songs and sing them and let that music minister to your heart. Review your soul winning notes. If you have gone through some of the courses we have around, if you have some of the soul winning notes we've passed out, I mean, it's good to go through that stuff from time to time and just get that fresh on your mind. Here's a great thing. While you're going, keep your conversation that you have with your soul winning partner upon things of the Lord. And I think before going soul winning, on the way to going soul winning, and during soul winning, it's not the time to be talking about every crazy thing going on in the world and then try to turn that conversation off and on as you're going to soul winning. I think you ought to be talking about things of the Lord, about souls, and all of this. So mental preparation. Memorize and meditate on soul winning scripture portions to help you to be mentally prepared. So you prepare physically, prepare mentally, and then prepare spiritually. I think the best spiritual preparation that you can do has to do with prayer. I think prayer properly prepares the spirit of a soul winner to interact with people. I think you ought to spend the day that you go praying for lost souls. I mean, I think you ought to pray for lost souls every day, but the day you're going visiting, you ought to be praying about that all day long. You should pray that God would give you the compassion that you need so that people will understand you really care about them. I think you ought to pray for the Holy Spirit fullness. Now, folks, there's a whole lesson I could teach on this, but I'm going to tell you, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And you know what? You go in the power of the flesh, you go in your power, and you're never going to see accomplished what is accomplished when you go filled with the Spirit of God. So you spend some time emptying yourself of sin. You spend some time emptying yourself of self. You confess your sin. Get confessed up. Don't try to go sowing a bunch of unconfessed sin in your life. Let me just tell you that. That's not going to go well. I mean, sometimes I've gone a block or two and been knocking on doors. And you know what? It's like nothing. It's like dead. It's like, and man, I'll just stop on the sidewalk and I'll get out on my knees. You mean on the knees? On my sidewalk, on the knees, and say, God, you know what? Something's wrong in my spirit. Something's wrong in my heart. Holy Spirit, if there's something that is grieving you, is there something that's preventing you from using me today? Lord, I don't want to take that time and just go out there and waste time. I want to have an eternal impact on souls. I can't do that in the power of Jerry Ross, but I can do that with the power of God. And so be sure and pray and begin to beseech the Lord and pray for the Holy Spirit fullness. Ask him to direct you and go with you. Pray before you go. Pray as you go. Pray after you go. Give thanks to the Lord for all that he allowed you to see. That's not the morning to skip morning devotions, okay? Be confessed up. Be right with others. If you're not, get right with others. Young people, I don't even have to tell you this. I guarantee you, on most Wednesdays during the school year, before soul winning, somebody's going to get into it with somebody else at school. Because the devil knows that if he can get you to have an ought against somebody and carry that into soul winning, it's going to prevent you from having the power of God upon your life that you need. So you got to recognize it for what it is. It's not that person and it's not you. It's the devil trying to get something stirred up so that you'll be focused on that all during soul winning and not on what you're doing. So you prepare yourself physically, you prepare yourself mentally, and you prepare yourself spiritually. And that's before. Let me talk to you about after soul winning, after you get done soul winning. I entitled this section of instruction, "He Got Saved, Now What Do I Do?" He got saved, now what do I do? Nothing's more exciting than to win a soul to Christ, but remember this, don't miss this. Your responsibilities are not over when you win someone to Christ. In some ways, they just begin. In some ways, they just begin. One of the things Brother Reiser encourages you to do, and folks, we have these cards that everybody can take with you and have with you, but I believe that, as I say, you have to have the proper tools if you're going to go soul winning. You got to have your New Testament. You got to have your gospel tracts. You got to have an ink pen, and you got to have a decision card. You have to have something to fill out. I can't tell you the number of times when I was in charge for 11 years of teen soul winning that somebody comes on the bus all excited because they won somebody to Christ. And they're just bubbling over, and they're telling me the story, and they're all excited. And I'm like, good, good. Okay, what was their name? I don't know. I think John. Oh, good. Okay, what was their last name? I don't know. Where did they live? Well, I don't know. I just talked to them on the street. Okay, you don't know where they live. Or maybe they talked to them at their house, but they were, you know, a girl and they're blonde. And so I say, which house? Well, it was it had a driveway, and it's got a mailbox in front of it. And I think there was a tree. That's gonna help us. We'll be able to drive right that. Now listen, watch this. In this area, not being properly organized can cause you to win somebody to Christ, but we cannot follow up on that person. We cannot go back up and begin to disciple them if we don't have information. And so, you know what? No woman in here would have a baby and then take that baby outside of the hospital and pitch it in the dumpster. But sometimes we work hard and labor to see a soul saved, but then we think our responsibilities are over and we never go back to care for that person that we have won to Christ. You know what? Listen, soul winning is not a one-step deal. The Great Commission is three steps. You win them, you baptize them, and then you disciple them. And we're not done when we win them to Christ. In some ways, as I mentioned, you just begin. So fill out a decision card, okay? Make sure that you get their information. You mean, how do you do it? You whip out the card and you say, now that you're saved, I want to make sure I get your information so I can follow up on you and I can give you some things that will help you. What's your name? Spell it for me. And if you're going to write out a decision card, would you please write it in such a way where we could read it? That's a wonderful thing. You know, some of your sevens look like a nine, and your nine looks like a seven, and your six looks like, I don't know what happened to it. Somebody put it in a microwave on high for about an hour. And honestly, you ask my wife, who's trying to send out visitors cards and follow-up letters and all these things. I mean, half the time she's in my office saying, can you discern what this is? Can you? And we are just guessing. And so take the time, do it right. Go over, after they're saved, go over assurance verses. I think one of the most important things to take, and it doesn't take very long, but I think one of the most important things to do after somebody gets saved is to take them to three different assurance verses. You want to get them grounded in right away. You want to get them to understand what happened to them. Now, the last verse that we use in the Romans Road is Romans 10:13. So you want to show them what I call the shall be promise, the shall be promise. You say, I've read this to you a few minutes ago, but now that you've prayed and accepted Christ, it's going to mean something more to you. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever means anybody, right? Does it mean you? Shall call upon the name of the Lord. Did you just call upon the name of the Lord? Yes. What's the next two words? And have them say it. Shall be. Shall be. Doesn't say might be, does it? Shall be saved. And so I call that the shall be promise, Romans 10:13. Then I show them the sonship promise, the sonship, S-O-N-ship promise in John 1:12. John 1:12 is a great assurance verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now with salvation comes a new relationship. You explain that. You know what? When you got saved, God just adopted you into his family. You are now a child of God. And tell them this, hey, you know what? My mom and dad, they gave birth to me. I'm their son. And you know what? I don't always live in such a way that always made them happy. Sometimes I disappointed them, but I never did anything that caused me not to be their son. And you know what? You're not always going to be perfect, but from this day forward, you are a child of God. Now, what we want to do is be good children. We want to do things in such a way that causes God to be pleased with us. And so John 1:12, the sonship promise. And the last one is what I call the secure promise. That's John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. So you're in Romans 10:13, then you go to John 1:12, then you go 10 chapters 4, John 10, 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And you know what? I've watched a soul winner do this once, and I thought it was so good that I do the same things. I usually pull a coin out of my pocket. I don't have a coin in my pocket, so I'll use this piece of paper right here, and I'll say, when you got saved, you know what the Bible says? He said that no man's going to be able to pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus said, I've got you in my hand. And then it says, next, it says this, my Father, which gave than me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So you're in the hand of Christ and you're secure. But just to make double sure, the Father puts his hand over the hand of the Son. And let me say this. Nobody is more powerful than God. There's nobody that can break through that double line of protection. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You're kept by the Son, who is kept by the Father. And guess what? I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. Who's going to take my salvation from me? And so what I do is I ground them in. You see, a lot of people have church background that told them that they could lose their salvation, that their salvation is not secure. And so right away, what I want to do is get their information, then I want to take them through these three verses, and I want to get them grounded in the assurance of their salvation. Number three, arrange for them to attend church with you. Now, I believe this. I think everybody that wins somebody to Christ ought to take it as your personal responsibility to get them to church. Well, I'll hand the card to a bus captain. Okay, that's fine. But you ought to make sure that that person gets on the bus. You ought to make sure. And by the way, I think one of the most effective ways to get somebody to church for the first time is to go with your vehicle and go give them a ride and get them there the first time by that way. Now, you can later on maybe sometimes hand them off to a bus captain. But if they know that you're driving out of your way to come pick them up, a lot of times that makes the difference in them coming. I want to get them to in church with me. Ask them to come to church. Either give them a ride or arrange a ride for them if you need to. But you can ask a bus captain to help you out there. But again, call them Saturday night. I call them Sunday morning. Hey, I want to make sure you're up. Hey, the bus should be here in a little while. I'll be waiting at the back door. And as soon as they pull in, you won't have to wonder where you go. I'm going to be right at the back door, and I'll be standing there when you walk in the door. That gives people the idea that, hey, I'm not going to just show up this church and wander around and try to figure out where I'm supposed to go and who I'm supposed to be with and what class my kids are supposed to, you know, take personal responsibility for them. And I think if God let you win them, then you ought to be the one that takes the responsibility of getting them here and taking them under your wing and making sure that they're well taken care of. Sometimes people ask me, when do you deal with baptism? I will tell you this as far as the teenagers, for teenagers and new soul winners, I want you to just get them to church. See, if you'll get them to church and you'll introduce them to me and you'll introduce them to Brother Reiser and that give us the opportunity, we'll talk to them about baptism. We'll follow up and talk to them about baptism. And I think sometimes people, are a little, it seems like a little worried about that or don't know exactly how to approach the subject of baptism, and that's fine. But for most of you, I think probably what you could do is just go ahead and talk to them about it, explain it to them. What is a public profession? What is baptism? What does it represent? I say this a lot. You've seen me do it a lot. I think it's just good to understand, you know, baptism is by immersion. It associates you with the death as you're going back, the death, the burial as you go under the water, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's almost like once they see that, they get this isn't just standing in water and getting wet. This is associating myself publicly with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an outward way of showing what I have chosen to believe, what I've put my faith and trust in. It's the first step of obedience. And so talk to them about baptism. Build a friendship, number whatever. Build a friendship. Now, folks, listen, don't just win somebody to Christ and then just let them go. Don't build somebody to Christ, get them to come to church one time, and then never call them, visit them, or go follow up on them. Most converts will continue to come if they develop good relationships or good friendships within the church. Go out of your way to include a new convert. You know, have them sit with you. Introduce them to some of the other church members. Introduce them to the pastor. Get them involved. Just about every Sunday, one of the bus captains or somebody else that brought a visitor will come find me and say, "Preacher, hey, I want you to come back and meet the parents of so-and-so that's been coming to our church." I love it when you do that. Thank you. Because, see, that makes them feel like, hey, I'm getting to know people around here. And so build a friendship. Get them involved in the next church activity. You know, the picnic that we had, we had some new bus parents. By the way, this is exciting. New bus parents. One of them came to me, one of the men came to me last Sunday that's just been started coming and said to me, "Hey, this men's overnight retreat, is that just for church members?" I mean, he asked me that. "Is that just for church members?" I said, "No." I said, "By next Sunday, we're going to have an information sheet. It'll have directions. It'll tell you how to get there." "Well, I'm thinking," I said, bring your boy and come." And he said, "Oh, I'll bring my boy, but I've got a couple other family members that might come too." Now watch this, Blissful Baptist. Look right up here at me, okay? Do you understand that this is a great way to get new converts to come? Okay. Listen, do you understand that new converts, let me help you with this next step because some of you need to get this. You understand new converts are new converts? Okay. I don't need a bunch of Pharisees walking around pointing out that they aren't doing everything exactly like we are. They've been in church like 2 weeks. Okay, I'll try to have them at least hide behind a building before they take a smoke, and I will try to confiscate their red man or something. Folks, they're new converts. Oh, did you hear what happened at the men's retreat? Oh, my goodness sake. A man came. Oh, that was a new convert. And has an opportunity to build relationships and gets to find out that Christian men are real and they know how to have a good time and they're fun, but we're the right examples. Let me tell you, and I want to help some of you with this. If there's something, you see the frustration coming on my face? This means that this bothers me, all right? And I'm going to try to explain to you so that this won't bother me anymore. Now, I sometimes feel like John the Baptist crying in the wilderness, but I'm going to give it one more cry here and get you to understand something. Watch this. Some of you core kids, you know what? We're bringing kids in that don't know what you know. And sometimes we let them come to stuff with what they have. You're supposed to be dressed right so that they can know what to do. You're not supposed to be the ding-dong that goes home to your mother and says, well, I don't know why they're allowed to dress like that, and I'm not allowed to dress like that. Because you've been saved more than 2 weeks, ding-dong. That's why. I can't help some new converts because some of you, when we make allowances because they're new, you want to throw a hissy fit because, well, we're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to do that. Well, you've been saved a lot longer. Okay, there's got to be some beginning steps for them. Okay, so stop using it as an excuse to accuse your pastor of not being consistent and start using some common sense. How are they going to get to into the church and understand and get to know if they don't have some beginning steps? Listen, some of you would have run off Bob and Donna Ross out of Rock Run Baptist Church. You'd have run them off and they'd have quit church. Okay, mom and dad, when they got saved, smoked. And they didn't quit one Sunday afterwards. I mean, David smoked. He was 3. I didn't smoke. I think it's terrible to burn that stuff when you can chew it. I mean, I was... just lost it. You hear that sound? Whoosh. That's the sound when God leaves the house. Whoosh. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, you know what? First church activity we showed up to, we didn't know how church people were. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to dress. We just came. We had Jesus, man. We were excited. These folks were letting us come. And you know what? My mom looked around. She's figuring some things out. She didn't need 2 weeks later some woman yank her off to the side and bawl her out because she wasn't dressed perfect. She didn't really need that at that point. There's a lot of other things that she needed right then except that. And I'm just trying to give you some good comment. I mean this. I try to make allowances so we can bring some people on, and then I got a bunch of carnal Christians running around mad because they can't dress like heathens, and they know better. It's not a double standard. It's called growing in grace. It's called bringing people along. Now, folks, listen, we're always going to stand for what we stand for, and we believe what we believe around here. We're not compromising, but you know what? When you get people that are new, there has to be an environment where you can take a tender plant, okay, a babe in Christ, and you've got to allow them to be able to grow. Okay, you can't take chunks of meat and stick it down the throat of a newborn. Okay, they desire the scent. They need milk. They need stuff they can easily digest. Okay, and listen, this is what I always say. Trust the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit tag teaming with the Word of God, He'll bring them along. They'll be fine. If there's something terribly overt, you know, where it's just, you know, like crazy indecent, I'll deal with it. But the honest truth is, they're babes. Okay? And we've just got to kind of learn that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Can the preacher say that and you feel like I'm not compromised? I'm not compromising. We've just got to bring people along. We've got to take them where they're at. We've got to bring them along. I hope we get a bunch of real rough ones at this side. I really do. I think it'd be wonderful. And I think that for the first time in their life, they'll be around a bunch of Christian guys and see and interact and watch and go home and talk about it. And wow, that whole time nobody cursed and nobody did this and nobody did that. And they had a great time and they prayed together. And man, some of the stuff we heard was good. And wow, I mean, the world has no concept of Christian manhood. No concept. So we don't lower our standards to them, but we give them time to grow to where we're at. Okay. How many of you are a lot closer than you were when you first started? Okay. All right. Hopefully, about three of you is not, but the rest of you, okay. Or you're Baptist and you're just against raising your hand for anything. Build a friendship with them and then ground them spiritually. You know what? We've had people do this, and thank you, church. You know, buy them a Bible. I couldn't even begin to guess how many Bibles have been purchased for people in this church by church members. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what? They may have one. I'd go ahead and buy them a Bible. Don't ask, do you have a Bible? Just buy them one, because they probably got one, but it's probably not the one we want to bring in. All right, so just buy them one. You know what you tend to use when you get something new? What you got new. And so buy them a Bible, good Bible, and a King James Bible. This will help them get started right. You can put their name on the presentation page, write it out. It only costs a few dollars to have their name engraved. I mean, if you ever watch the face of a new convert who gets a Bible with their name on it, it's just like they just can't believe it. And all of a sudden, they realize something very precious has been given to me. This is important. Have you ever seen this? I love it. You see new converts walk to church and they carry their Bible in the box it came in? I mean, they do. Have you ever seen that? I just think that's, you know what that tells me? They're trying to take such good care because it's so important. It's so meaningful to them. They keep it in the box, you know? And so I like that. I think, how neat, you know, that tells you something about them. If you give them a Bible reading chart, or one of our teen devotional booklets, and show them how to have daily devotions. Get them involved in church soul winning program. Get them to go with you on bus visitation and soul winning. Train them how to win souls. Go with them. Let them just watch you for a while. Go with them to witness to their family and their friends. Here's one of the great things. Be patient with them. Be patient with people. Please bless Hope Baptist Church. And the vast majority, I think you are. But please be patient with people. As the Holy Spirit deals with things in their lives, they need to lay aside, encourage them. They're going to answer biblical questions. They're going to ask questions. They're going to ask you questions. Be sure and give them biblical answers. And you know what? Sometimes the best answer, and I had to talk with Jesse about this the other day, I said, sometimes the best answer for a new Christian is, you know what? I don't think that's really something you ought to worry about right now. There's a lot of things that you need to learn, and I think, you know what, in God's time, God will kind of show you that. You know, if it's something that honestly they're beyond handling, then why try to let them handle it? You know, just tell them, hey, you know what? That's not the, let me tell you the three things that's kind of a good beginning things, and then I think once you do these things, you'll start figuring out the rest of it. Because sometimes we want to dump the whole truck on them the first time they come, and they just get, whoa, okay. You know what? That's not how you grow people. You're patient with them. You did not get to where you were overnight. I didn't get to where I was overnight. It's wrong to expect that of them. Encourage them to be faithful to church. Really, more than any other thing that you can do to ground them spiritually is just encourage them to come. If they'll come and they'll sit regularly in Sunday school classes, if they'll come and sit under the preaching of God's word, there's nothing that what you can do that'll help them just get grounded and just getting them here. And so that's before soul winning, that's after soul winning, and that's just a good practical advice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the instruction that we were allowed to give tonight. And I pray, Lord, that it would help all of us as we begin to go after new converts, new souls, Lord. Help us to learn, Lord. Help us to be patient. Help us to be compassionate. And Lord, may we from time to time just take a trip back in our minds to when we first got saved. And Lord, to remind ourselves of the things that we didn't know and the things that it took us a while to figure out, how patient you were with us, first of all, and God was with us. And And then people at the church. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we learn, Lord, that the best way to help people is to love them. The best way to help people is to be a friend and an encouragement to them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to balance that with the giving of the truth and the speaking of the truth and answering with wisdom and answering in love in the things that they're curious about. Lord, thank you for the number of converts that we've seen of late. And so I felt that this was so timely. Lord, as we've been blessed to see a lot of folks come to Christ in the last several weeks, and now the opportunity to begin to grow them up in you. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, give us wisdom in all these areas. We pray in Jesus' name.